this is David Wilcock, and ever since I was 7 years old, I had read books about ESP and practiced psychic exercises. In 1996, I began studying the protocols of remote viewing, in which people were trained by our government in various forms to send their consciousness to a remote location, gather data about that location, and report it back to the room, in many cases with an above 90 to 95% level of accuracy. Now, these remote viewing exercises came up with a series of protocols in order to help people be as psychic as possible and as accurate as possible while they were doing this work. And again, in 1996, I adopted these protocols towards the idea of getting specific spoken words rather than visual images as the remote viewing technique was supposed to be designed for. It was in November 1996 that I was able to get this to start working and began doing what I now call deep trance psychic readings. I worked from 1998 to 2005 as a professional intuitive counselor and had 500 clients during that time with a very high level of satisfaction. In 2005, I began working on a film called Convergence, dealing with the science of consciousness as a unified energy field that exists all through the cosmos. One of our catchphrases is, we used to think the Earth is the center of the solar system. We still think the brain is the center of the mind. But that's changing. In fact, it seems that the entire cosmos is one living being, one infinite creator. So, it was during that same year, 1996, that I came across a series of books called the Law of One series, and it was purported to be channeled by an entity calling itself Ra. This entity said it represented the entire planet of Venus, which had evolved much past the level that we're at now, some 1.5 billion years ago, and had gone on to evolve through what they referred to as fourth density, fifth density, and on into sixth density. And we're now in the process of getting close to graduating into seventh density. And there's only eight densities in the universe. When you get back to the eighth, you're essentially reunified with the oneness. Now, certain spiritual traditions break down the densities in different ways, but the point is it's all an octave. It's all grouped by eight if you look at the colors of the rainbow, which is what they do. Anyway, this material was near and dear to my heart, and after studying it for the better part of 7 or 8 months, my mind had become tuned to be able to receive a similar contact. It wasn't for another 2 years, however, that I discovered that my own higher self, as it's called, was actually unified with this same group consciousness that had spoken in the Law of One series. In fact, in the Law of One series, Ra explains that a substantial number of people on the planet, some 100 million in total, are actually angelic or extraterrestrial beings who have volunteered to be human, though they did not need to be human at this time, and chose to come here essentially to raise the planet's vibration. The reason why this is necessary is that if the planet has a lower vibration, then we actually have a great deal of strife and chaos and calamity. Well, then you might laugh and say that's exactly the way things are right now, but rest assured, if these 100 million souls were not here, the planet would be in much worse shape. You can imagine something much more along the lines of a truly enslaved world with martial law and troops in the streets and tanks and all kinds of horrible things. Anyway, we don't have that. We actually have a planet that's going through a change which can seem rather unsettling, and I understand that. I know that many people are starting to experience dark nights of the soul now. We have a changing economy, which I was receiving prophetic information about from my readings as early as 1996-97. Those things are starting to happen now. Again, however, I want to emphasize that the economy is changing in a way that will benefit humanity, not detract from it. The very fact that the sun rises and sets, that water falls from the skies, that people live and work, all of these things are the true nature of an economy. And it's only when you have the equivalent of one person in a room of 100 who's hoarding all the food for himself, that you have a problem. And as the other 99 people, or a substantial number of them, realize what this one person is doing, there will be readjustments. And we're seeing that all over the place. I get lots of email. I get about 120 unique letters a day. And many people are not comfortable with my feeling of positivity about what's going on. And it's okay. If you want to feel fear and you want to feel paranoid, that's your right. I'm certainly not going to tell you how to think. All I want to do is offer a perspective which is based on having built a trust and a rapport with these higher forces through my own telepathic exchange with them. And as a result of that, I'm in a position where I feel I can trust them when they give me these messages that say that what you're already seeing is about as bad as it's going to get. Now, certainly in various areas, people will experience upheaval. For example, if you're in an area where there's a hurricane or a tornado or a wildfire, you may very well have the equivalent of an Armageddon in your own life. But the deeper meaning of Armageddon in the biblical tradition has to deal with how we move through these emotional transformations in ourselves. That's the real earthquake, that's the real tidal wave, and that's the deeper level of many of these ancient prophecies. When you start seeing consciousness as a unified field, you realize the earth is just a small aspect of universal mind, and therefore it's easily modified by how we think in ourselves, and in fact mirrors back to us our collective harmony or disharmony as such. So we are seeing a lot of changes on the earth right now. And elsewhere on my website, divinecosmos.com, I go into a lot of scientific and specific detail about the nature of these changes. It does appear that we're heading into a moment of quantum shift in the actual nature of matter, energy, and consciousness. And this is something that I've gone into a great deal of detail about. It is essentially focusing around the year 2012, the end of the year 2012. It's not necessarily going to happen during that time, but I have become compelled that between the testimony and the law of one material, and then all the other ways in which the law of one has been proven accurate, which I detail in three books on my website called Convergence, I have every reason to believe that this part is true also. So what we're looking at is the idea that there is an actual light body activation that will happen, in which the physical earth will go through calamities and catastrophes, but almost everyone on the planet will experience this light body activation and not be here in the physical plane while this happens. This appears to fulfill many ancient prophecies that are not just Christian in nature, but actually reflect many other cultures as well. I know this sounds far-fetched and a lot of people have a hard time grasping it, but the fact of the matter is that we really know very little about how our universe works. And if you think we have all the answers buttoned down, then you haven't spent enough time reading all the scientific cases that I've made. I would say that to this day, the most hard-hitting and informative single collection of information that I've ever put together is called The Science of Peace. It's a 3-CD-length series of MP3 files, which are available for download off my website, divinecosmos.com. Recently, a person who's a very good supporter and friend of mine told me that I should be informing people that that's the first thing you really should hear, followed by the What Is My Purpose, then watching the 2012 Enigma documentary film, and then branching out into all the other material after that. Once you've gotten the Science of Peace material under your belt, you really will see how consciousness is a unified field and how much evidence there is to support that. And the material that I put together for the Science of Peace series has since been adapted into a film screenplay, which we are in the process of developing. Somebody sent me an email just the other day and said that I shouldn't call myself a filmmaker because I haven't actually made a film yet. Well, that's actually not true. The 2012 Enigma is a feature-length documentary. The source footage is not that great. It was taken from a distance, but we did post-produce it and put music to it and title graphics and so forth. Plus, the fact is we do have financing already for this film. We are far along in production. It's been 3.5 years of development. And we've brought together film professors from top universities and a variety of different staff from Hollywood to develop this project. Everybody asked me when it's going to be out. The answer is probably sometime in 2009. We have some very exciting new information that I will share when I can about the possibility of the entire film being financed within the next 2 to 3 months, which will allow us to dive directly into production, hire a director, get our cast lined up, and do all these things. So this is not something that I just talk about in order to entertain myself. We've been working very hard, and we're finally coming to some very critical watermarks in our progress. It probably will make me a lot more visible in terms of publicity, but that's not really why I'm doing it. My focus is to try to get this message out to a large number of people. And the fact is that when you look at this science of consciousness and you really start understanding what's been hidden from us, possibly by design or possibly just because we're not able to see such a grandiose view, it really is rather sad. Once you know the truth that the mind is actually not something that's a function of the brain, that you may be using an energy field to think with, it changes everything. It changes even the nature of soul, because you can have an out-of-body experience or a near-death experience, in which case your body in the near-death experience is brain dead, but your consciousness still perseveres outside that physical body. Then when you go back into the body, the brain waves restart, but you have a continuity of experience from the time you were gone. That right there should imply that the actual conscious waking I am self that you have doesn't require the brain, and in fact may only be using it as an antenna. Then when you see that a part of us has this light body, so to speak, that we activate in an out-of-body experience, that can fly around and do whatever we want to do wherever we go, you really have to start stretching your concepts about what is reality and what is truth. Furthermore, if you see your life as being something that's a spiritual process, and you see that you're spiritually growing, which most people do, then you have to ask yourself, A, do I believe in reincarnation? And B, if so, am I going to just keep coming back and repeating the same set of experiences over and over again? Or doesn't the idea of reincarnation imply that at some point in one lifetime, you figure out what you're supposed to know and all the lessons you need to be learning sufficiently enough that you no longer need to repeat human physical incarnation as it has been up until now? So all I'm asking, and all these sources that I'm speaking of are asking, is for you to broaden that definition a little bit more so you can get past the idea of seeing yourself as a soul who just keeps reincarnating as human, and into the concept that perhaps the entire planet, being a sentient being, is also going to reincarnate, but in a higher dimensional frequency, if you will. That as this happens, the very nature of the physical matter on the planet and the energy that flows around the planet and even the life forms on the planet will all change. Everybody says, oh, my pets, what's going to happen to my pets in 2012? Again, animals are souls too, and many souls are birthed into humanity out of being someone's pet in a previous lifetime. This is another thing from the Law of One material. In order for an animal to be able to graduate into being human, it has to become conscious of itself as a separate being. And having someone take you on as their pet is a great way to do that if you're an animal, because now you're relying upon that person for food and attention, whereas before, your mind is more merged with the everlasting forest, so to speak. And you just have this intrinsic instinct that guides you where you need to go, and you trust that all is going to be provided. So these are some very fascinating concepts, and again, no one body of information that we're ever going to give you is going to encompass all of this. That's why there's so much on the site. So if you want to get the overview, start with Science of Peace. The What Is My Purpose CD is another one that has a full-length musical soundtrack to it that we composed for it. It's a reading that deals with the question everybody wants to know. Once you start spiritually awakening, people say, well, then what am I here for? What's my purpose? So another thing that's important is that because the film production is really getting into full gear, I may or may not be doing conferences next year as we get into production. There's only one substantial event left that I'm going to be doing this year in which people have an opportunity to get to see me in more detail than just a conference where I might breeze in and breeze out. And that's a cruise that we're doing through a variety of wonderful ports of call along the Mexican Riviera, including Cabo San Lucas and a variety of tropical destinations like that. If you'd like more information, you can contact my friend Kevin Fitzgerald at 951-805-1820. That's 951-805-1820. Please don't call him unless you're serious about wanting to do something like this. We have made it as affordable as possible. My cut is very low. It does help the site financially, but the primary reason why we do it is it's a great way to have a vacation and to be able to meet me and get to hear a lot more detail in person about what I'm doing. We do keep the group fairly small. Anyway, the reason why I'm doing this intro right now is that I performed a psychic reading recently for a couple friends of mine, and I'm not going to reveal who they are except to say that both of them are people who I've known for some time, and they are a couple, male-female couple. I had no idea that I would end up using this reading for anything other than their own private listening. It's very rare that I do readings for anyone anymore, and it was only because they're close friends of mine that I did this at all. However, it became clear once the reading was over and we listened back to it that it should be shared with others. We did delete a few things in there that dealt with the past lives that they shared together, but otherwise, we pretty much preserved it as it was. This is a full-length reading, and I hope you enjoy it.
I am Ra. It is an honor and a privilege to greet you this day in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We have always reserved a space in our hearts for those who approach the light of the Christ with that dedication that some would call fervent. This is a quest for the true identity, the primordial self, before the layers of distortion factor in. The quest for meaning is a quest that can lead one through the various trappings of material existence. The underlying thrust of each seeking is truer happiness, a truer sense of fulfillment in some form. How easily the rational mind is fooled by the panoramas of indifference presented by materiality and its trappings of desire. We say indifference, for these act as chimeras, creating illusions of prosperity or illusions of familiarity or illusions of peace. And yet, as you well understand, the rational mind constructs its desires based upon many false illusions where the self has been projected. One thinks that the car is an extension of the self, as an example. And thus, those who shop for cars often are looking for a projection of themselves. You have wondered about the status of your awakening and the reasoning behind the events that have transpired. Be aware that the course of events has not yet begun in full force. You are at this point in what we would consider a transitional period. Make no mistake that the prophecies of the Christian Bible will be fulfilled in much a fashion as has been expected by those who have been bothering to pay attention to the signs and portents all around them. It is easy for us to fast forward and rewind your linear time, much like a video cassette. And thus, we have been able to accurately predict future events in the lives of David and many others with whom we have served and worked through this instrument. Yet, for some reason, it still forms a stumbling block for those other selves when we can additionally say that the events that have not yet come into being will nonetheless happen as has been given. It is difficult and majestic simultaneously to wrap one's finite mind around the idea of a change as vast in scope as that which your density shift into fourth represents, and yet it is well underway at this time. The physical body is a conduit for spiritual energy, which flows through it, and oftentimes is crimped or blocked off by various holographic illusions of mind, as they then precipitate into the body. Your challenge, as always, has been to reflect back to the Creator that which is truest and most pure in yourself. How effortless it is to judge and to criticize and condemn. It is a reactive stance born from the pain of apparent separation. Yet this separation is the very stuff of spiritual development. The sense of being abandoned or isolated or left alone provides a powerful impetus to the seeking. The seeking continues in this moment. And it is by virtue of the earnest seeking that a pathway to greater understanding was then opened. We find many who are on a religious Christian path whose seeking is relatively restricted. By this we mean that they are content with a few passages highlighted in red in their Bibles, discussed on Sundays by the preacher, with no further impetus to truly seek beyond that which is given. As you have discovered, there are others who play along with the party line, so to speak, and wish to identify themselves with this spiritual trend, but in fact do not have much of a connection to it. The mind of the average religious Christian is rife with contradiction, for the teachings as given were extraordinarily simplistic in their focus. This was a deliberate attempt on behalf of the Confederation and its associates to simplify the message as had been given in previous epochs of your history. Earlier lessons involved a more integrative view of spirituality, with the focus on how the polarities unify themselves, and thus the sacramental nature of all things being taught as a form of direct knowing. that good and evil, so-called, by your peoples. Both play a role in the dynamic intermixing of experience so as to create reunification of the oneness. This cosmos begins and ends in oneness, and any illusion that it has been other than that is born of the finite, which was created for the purpose of dynamic contrast, to introduce variability and change in the nature of this unified consciousness. Our perspective is as one who stands in the river of time, knowing from whence we came and to where we are going. And yet, whichever direction we face in is the direction the river will pour. So, this is not unique to us. Most souls on your plane keep reorienting their focus in the river of time to the events in their past. In so doing, the three-dimensional nature of time in the non-physical realms causes the chain of causality to effectively repeat earlier experiences, that they may again reiterate themselves. Thus, there is a loop of events in which future personages emulate other scenarios in the past. We consider this cycle true helplessness by virtue of the fact that the catalysts repeat themselves ad nauseam without there being any substantive change in the level of awakening within the soul who experiences these catalysts. Again, we say that most of those who are seeking in the form of a religious Christian faith are rife with contradiction in that they have heard and comprehended the message of the one known as Jesus, with the focus on loving your brothers and sisters. And yet, many caveats are introduced, such as the taboos around homosexuality or abortion, etc. And, of course, the strong differentiation between those of the Christian faith and those of other faiths, or even those of other denominations of said Christian faith. As we walk the corridors of time, the Akashic record represents an archive of the soul, complete in its level of specificity. A critical watermark is achieved once the self is able to consciously comprehend its divinity and see the universe as being a holographic interplay of consciousness and free will. Within this construct, there can be no blame, and all experiences are seen as a blessing. This fundamentally redefines the role of the self in its environment, such that the typical religious background cannot apply. In the Christian paradigm, Jesus is the only Son of God, and one must be left asking the question, who am I then, if not also a child of God? The answer fundamentally redefines the role of self, because no longer is there any conduit that you must travel through in order to attain enlightenment or spiritual salvation. The road to mastery is the well-paved journey to the heart of the self. And that journey encompasses all experiences you shall have on this plane. You may have a Hindu feeling that the cow is sacred and should never be slaughtered, whereas other cultures do not have such restrictions in their thought process. Who is right, who is wrong? In many cases, it is a choice and nothing more. Therefore, many feelings in various religious teachings that seem to be axiomatic truths are really the finite attempts of the mind to understand and define what the Creator's will is for that soul. We can tell you that the universe is far more open and unrestricted in its actual thought patterns than how most see it. There is, however, what one could consider to be an absolute standard in terms of morality and ethics in the universe. And that is what we have referred to as the first distortion of the law of one, or that known as free will. Free will does essentially represent an absolute standard or a code of conduct within the universe. Remember that it is the finite illusion that you exist in time and that you appear to have a separate identity. In the grander sense, this is but a play of consciousness. Shadow puppets reflected against the wall as if to imply that you have an identity that is separate from those around you. The reality is far more intrinsic. You are one being having an apparently separated experience while never having left this unified consciousness. Even those souls who would do the greatest harm to others are still equally one and equally a part of this precious creation. Nothing is lost, no one is left behind, and no one ever strays too far from the goal. The negative path inspires growth by infringing upon the free will of others. Such infringements necessitate a movement. For when you have had your boundaries violated and your ideals shattered, there is a trigger to the greater seeking. That trigger encompasses a journey deeper within the heart. Many tribal cultures exist for thousands of years in a relatively unchanging state, and it is only when they are invaded by those who are predominantly negative in their infringement that these primitive cultures then become more civilized. The traditional religious codes are broken, and the opportunity to learn more and to broaden one's perspective is introduced. Thus, the negative path oftentimes intrudes upon a relatively stagnant state of consciousness, which may be harmonious from a physical standpoint, but is unproductive from a divine standpoint in the sense that there is not an impetus to seek beyond the restrictive codes of religious dogma that define that thought pattern. In much the same way, we are seeing an overturning of the fundamentalist Christian thought patterns. This too has become a worshiping of rules rather than a true seeking pattern within the self. When the thought patterns are too restricted by dogmatic codes of conduct, each circumstance that comes your way is judged by a predestined set of criteria rather than by the deep, intense personal seeking as to what is right in the situation. This is why when you are thrown a situation that is very difficult to understand and to comprehend what is right, you have the greatest opportunity. For much as a piece of paper can be cut after it has been folded, and with the cuts made in such a way, you can unfold the paper and have a series of dolls whose hands are holding one another. So too can these cuts of life move through the striated layers of consciousness in a way that is not seen, until you then open and unfold yourself and examine your true patterns, to then see the glorious chain of those holding hands that is created by what at first appear to be random cuts, random wounds of the self. The knowingness of there being a divine plan behind the apparent chaos on your plane is what allows those souls who have a far-seeking vision to look beyond the finite limitations of the cuts as they come in, to the greater glory that awaits as the unfolding process commences, and you get to see the chain of causality between apparently disparate events in life. Therefore, what we can say is that the intensity of the seeking did lead to there being these cuts in life. It also led to a transcension of the restrictions and the limitations of the thought forms that had presented themselves. This is not meant to be anything negative. It is a process of letting go of what has up until then been a comfort, much like the security blanket of the one known as Linus in the Charles Schulz Peanuts cartoon. By letting go of that which has remained comfortable and familiar, there is the opportunity to arise from one's spiritual adolescence into true maturation. With true maturation in the spiritual sense comes the beginning manifestation of the abilities of the initiate. Each soul has its own particular pattern of awakening, and thus no two shall be alike. The phenomena unique to this soul's awakening, to whom we are now speaking, include those forms of light that were then seen by the naked eye and also felt as an emotional tonality. This is nothing unusual. It represents the work that has been done upon the self, precipitating into a physical result that is ever more prominent as time goes forward. Its purpose is one with the purpose of the earth at this time. We are moving through a transformative process. Most people, as you would call them, have not yet approached the true understanding of what is happening. And thus we can correctly say that there is an urgent need for more to awaken to their true potential as souls. With this awakening comes the ability to reach out to others and heal them, finding the core issues that have remained unresolved by effortlessly seeing that which is so obvious to one with the gift. The challenge, of course, is within the heart, for as this awakening process continues, there is a great deal of shedding and letting go of what has remained comfortable. Many times a soul experiences what David calls the gut-wrenching 180, where there is a twist back to what felt familiar in the past. These experiences tend to dwindle as time goes on and may only occur as momentary lapses in the mind, rather than anything that is done physically. There is a great deal of confidence in the self required to break out of a dogmatic religious paradigm. For this paradigm is often worshipped as if it were God, rather than just an avenue of God's expression. It is truly a rare soul that has the trust in itself necessary to transcend these bounds of social code, and see that the Creator emanates from within and that the grandest connection one shall have to the Creator is from within. Yet we emphatically state that it is not only possible, it is preferable, and it is increasingly becoming the reality that more and more upon your plane are sharing. We would ask that you take each step with the simplicity and the grace that it is intended. At this time, there is no need to grasp for some grandiose goal or to seek something that is much farther than where you are now. The process of awakening at this time in your planet's history is incremental. It only requires your participation in the awakening of the heart and the compassion for self, which is compassion for others, once self in its true definition is integrated and understood. Therefore, each residual longing that has remained unfulfilled shall be brought up and examined by the conscious mind as time goes on. You will see those things that you have felt uncomfortable about being brought up for review. It is not as easy as you might think to let go of them. Each new twist of the wheel of fortune reveals some hidden aspect of the self that you thought you had cleared, which again becomes prominent and in need of addressing. The glory that you have as a couple is your ability to transcend those apparent limitations on the path of healing. This is why you have been brought together in other lifetimes, and this is the greatest strength of the partnership in this lifetime. To share the mutual thirst for oneness is to appreciate the transcension of the individual self that is possible in a monogamous sexual partnering. The merger of energies leads to a combined symbiosis, which can be defined in the sense of the production of offspring, but also can be realized in the spiritual merger and the offspring resulting on a more metaphysical level from that which is the creative outgrowth of said partnership. There is much to be explored, and we wish to emphatically state that there is no one right path of seeking for this partnering. There are indeed many different aspects of creative expression that could be brought to the forefront, and these will become increasingly obvious as time goes on. So many souls get caught up in what they should be doing, as if there is a should. The deeper question is how one can approach the truth of its identity. For this truth gives nothing but grandest focus to the true identity of the others around you. How can you not be in anything but absolute love with the creation and with all that you see and all that you experience? Every step is a joy. Every experience is a gift. Every person is a reflection of the truth that emanates from within. The wonderment of a life that is fully awakened can only be shared by approximation with those who do not fully understand it. The only way they may approach it is perhaps by imagining that they had great material wealth, or they had the ideal partnership, or some other sort of gratification of the ego, in the sense of it being a representation of the personality self and the finite mind. We state without hesitation that the awareness of one's true divine nature transcends any material manifestation that could occur. For many have discovered that once they have money, there are as many, if not more, pressures that occur, which can completely break down the walls of fabrication that this would be something leading to happiness. Many times there is a figure-eight infinity loop where the path is tread over and over again. For even despite all the wealth and the manifestations of the physical plane, there is still that critical moment that one must make within the self where there is a choice to experience the joy and the fulfillment of this present moment. It is a choice, and it does represent a conscious decision that is made to accept that life is good and bountiful and happy. All too often, the physical goals are acquainted with this seeking, such that there is a sense that without these manifestations, without these goals being set, even if they are of a spiritual service nature, that life shall not be what it could be. It is a far simpler and more elusive teaching to respect and accept the fact that a true potential can be awakened in the now without any of these apparent goals being required. The true awareness of the potential of this moment transcends those goals that are set, and in many cases redefines them. For all that is required is to seek the love in this moment, to seek the boundless infinity of identity, to know the truth of your own nature. And with that truth, there emanates a resplendent glory that infuses every thought with the consciousness of everlasting love. There can be only progress once this overview is realized. Granted, some souls do slip backwards after attaining a certain level of development. The key in avoiding this from happening is to remain present with each experience as it comes along. Many souls retreat into denial and are at some stage incapable of accepting that which life has given them. Those on a spiritual path do consciously choose initiation to occur. The experiences of initiation are calibrated to be quite jarring. This is the exit pressure that leads to a soul's desire for change and growth. And yet for many, the transformation of the self is too difficult. Certain experiences that come along are deemed unacceptable, and the soul rushes to another distraction, which tends to fall in alignment with those behaviors you would term addictive in nature. One who goes through life without these crutches, who takes the experiences without denying what is happening, is one who quickly rises through the ranks of newbie and initiate into mastery and transcension. You have attained these stages at various increments, and as you go to one level of mastery, so too does the next avenue of initiation open itself. One of the initiations you run at this time is self-doubt. With the greater consciousness of the fact that you can do no wrong, and that your true identity already is one, there comes a relaxing of the sense of obligation that you feel. For again, so many souls get tied up in the goal setting and the doingness of experience that they do not fully comprehend the glory of simply being in the now, accepting the full purity of this moment without the adornments of the sense of what shall be done in the future. When the full consciousness of the now is realized, that creates a state that has at times been called pure consciousness, a full awareness of the bounty and the beauty of one's existence within this cosmos. That awareness is something that will always be yours once you have tasted it, And yet for those who have never experienced it, they can only apologetically nod their heads in apparent understanding when such stories are shared with them. It is much like one who has a sense of smell but has never truly smelled a rose or a lily or a lilac, and thus does not truly know the potential of their own sense organs. In much the same way, the taste of true enlightenment is something that redefines all that has come before it. For you have an awareness of the infinite potential of the present and the purity of that which you are. With this consciousness comes an appreciation for all forms of experience. Never again shall there be the backsliding in which there is that fallback to limitation. Limitation is only an apparent construct born of the finite mind. True limitlessness respects the everlasting nature of consciousness, enough that you can see that you have a finite life, but you have an infinite mind. The infinite mind needs not have the finite life be perfect. In fact, the imperfection of the finite life is that which leads directly to a full appreciation of the infinite mind. This set of criteria given by the finite experience is what causes there to be an awakening to true divinity. Thus, you can bless and embrace the process with all of its tears and its twists and turns as being an aspect of your true identity. For with this deeper truth comes a knowingness that all is well and that there shall be no inconsistencies. Much like the vegetation grows under the sea and can then be plucked and used as a food once it has been dried and cured, so too are there those growths within the sea of consciousness, which are beneath the surface for most who continue to sail, longingly looking for the lighthouse that beckons them to dry land. They may not realize what exists below the waterline. Few there are who have the fortitude to dive into the at times cold waters, to plunge down to the sandy bottom, seeking the treasure chest of the soul. They may not bother to look at the glorious beauty that surrounds them in this creation each and every day. It may seem as if the experiences that present themselves are too limited, and they wish to hold back, feeling glad about who they are, until they get the experiences they want. This is completely inverted to how the process actually functions. For to be completely okay with yourself as you are, and to fully break through to an awareness of the present moment as it is to then engage that reunion that the true self desperately seeks from the finite self. Once that etheric handshake is made, you will find that it pulls you upward as a loving presence guiding you through your life. And this consciousness then informs the goal setting. So the path is the forgiveness of self, the acceptance of self, and then the direction of will to positive creative manifestation. It occurs in grades or increments in stepwise fashion. And as you move through these layers of self-appreciation and self-understanding, you will have more and more experiences present themselves, showing you directions you can go. It is your choice as to how you will provide yourself with these catalysts. And again, there is no one right or wrong answer. It is important to step back when you are in those moments of stress, where the temptation is to see only the apparent collapse that surrounds you. You are well aware that many others are now going through their dark nights of the soul, and your society is experiencing changes that will be awakening dormant thoughts in many people's minds. Rather than see this with any sense of distress, recognize the abundant opportunities that will be coming into view to help others. Fear not for redefining your sense of self, for you do have the talents necessary to provide service in a variety of modalities at a very high level of quality. The potentials of your soul are limitless once you understand who you are, and that the self in the finite sense is merely a conduit for the divine. Therefore, many roads exist, and the potentials for collaboration with others of like mind are great. You shall also see your intuitive and visionary abilities increasing. It is wise to continue practicing meditation, the stilling of the mind, especially in those moments where it is most prone to be scattered. For these letting goes allow you to get past the thoughts that would loop around like a dog chasing its tail. Once those thoughts drop away, the four walls that have constrained your intuition fall to the sides, and you realize that the limited room that you thought yourself to be ensconced within, in the sense of mind, was but a construct that was given so that the finite self would not be overwhelmed with the true nature of its existence. Now is the time that you can see the vastness of infinity and respect the fact that something as infinite as 100 million billion galaxies throughout this cosmos can also be unified into a single pinpoint of light. And that light can be the essential moment of quiet that you reach in that meditative state. It is everywhere and nowhere. It is all time, and it is an instant. It is the truth, it is the way, and it is the life. For no one does come unto the Father but through this higher self that is within each. This is the true meaning of Christ consciousness. This is something you now understand, as was taught by the one known as Jesus. We are greatly appreciative of the efforts you have made for the betterment of self and of others. We also see the glorious service that you have provided with the raising of your children, and are enthusiastic about how they too will awaken in the process of your understandings coming to view. They are, of course, your teachers and have much to show you in many different aspects of being. At this time, many threads of your life come together and unify in ways you had never before seen or imagined possible. The gratitude that you share with yourself radiates back to the cosmos, and we feel it even at our level. We are pleased with the progress that you have made and want to remind you how rare it is that one is able to truly awaken within this earth at its current time in history. There are a complexity of pressures upon the minds of each, and it oftentimes does lead to their being inconsistencies in the pattern of seeking. In the grandest sense, may you never forget that you are the light, you are the love, you are the one infinite creator. This is as it was, as it is now, and as it always shall be. It has been our distinct pleasure and privilege to bring you these messages of truth and transformation this day. And we remind you that you are loved more than you could ever possibly imagine. It is at this time that we must relinquish control of this instrument. We are open to having future sessions and discussing these issues with you in greater detail. At this time, we shall take our leave of you. We thank you. Peace be with you in the light of everlasting love. We now leave this work. Adonai and Amen.